This talk now is going to be delivered by the celebrated speaker, Sheikh Muhammad Al-Jibari, hafizahullah. He's originally from Lebanon and is currently residing in Iowa in the USA. He is a professor of nuclear physics at the university there, and as I previously mentioned, on Monday night he is the chairman of the Al-Qur'an and Al-Sunnah Society of North America. He has studied for various number of scholars, directly and indirectly, and authored a number of books, some of which are published, some of which are not published, most of which are unpublished. For example, he's in the process of completing a work on Aqidah called the Shu'a Foundation, a translation of Risalatul Tabuqiyya of Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah. So he's going to deliver a talk about following and obeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with relevance to the schools of thought about ittiba' and rabta'a in the context of mazhabiyya and taqleed and so on. Jazakumullah khairan. Alhamdulillah. Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluh. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبعد أيها المسلمون Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu reported that the angels once came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was sleeping, and some of the angels said, "He is sleeping." Others said, "His eye is asleep, but his heart is awake." And which means that they both said the truth. So he is sleeping, this is true, but also it is true that his heart is always awake. And then he said, "Your friend here had a parable, so say it, what is it like?" They said, "His parable is like a man who built a house, and in this house he had a feast, and he sent a person to invite people to this feast. The one who obeys the invitation will enter into this house, and the one who disobeys the invitation of this caller will not enter the house and will not eat of this feast." They said, "Interpret it or make it more clear so that he would understand it," which means that the Prophet ﷺ, who was sleeping, he was also listening to these angels and understood what they were saying. So they said to each other, "Explain it so that he would understand what you mean." So they said, "The eye is sleeping and the heart is awake." Then they said, "The house is al-Jannah, and the person who is inviting to it is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one who obeys Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has obeyed Allah azza wa jal.
which means that Allah has created this house at Jannah, and He sent the person to invite people. This is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The one who obeys the invitation has indeed obeyed Allah azza wa jal. And the one who disobeys Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمُحَمَّدٌ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَرْقٌ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam differentiates between people. What does this mean? It means that by this invitation, some people will obey, some people will not obey. So people will be divided into two classes. Those who obeyed and entered the Jannah and ate of this feast, and the other group who did not benefit of this. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the caller to the benefits and to the glory that Allah has in store for those who just answer the call. You see, Islam, all of it, relies on this important fact. In addition to the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal is the creator and the owner of everything, and therefore He is the one to be obeyed and to be worshipped alone without any associates. In addition to that, the other basis for all of Islam is the obedience of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because if we know that Allah is the owner and the creator, and even He is Malik Yawm al-Din, He is the one who has created this house and this feast for people to come and benefit from it, but we do not accept that this caller, this messenger has to be obeyed to lead to the house, then you will never get to the house. You will never be able to enter into this Jannah that Allah created for those who want to obey Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is himself an obedient abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has been ordered to obey Allah just as all of us have been ordered to obey Him. Allah azza wa jal told him, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ اتَّقِ اللَّهَ. O Prophet, fear Allah, reverence Allah, have taqwa of Allah. وَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا وَاتَّبِعْ مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْكَ مَنْ رَبِّكَ. And obey that which is revealed to you from your Lord. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ لِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا. Allah is very aware and knowledgeable about all what you do. So this is an order to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to obey Allah. And He also ordered him another ayah by saying, اتَّبِعْ مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْكَ مَنْ رَبِّكَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Follow that which is revealed to you from your Lord and turn away from the disbelievers or the mushrikeen. And He told him, ثم جعلناك على شريعة من الأمر فاتبعها ولا تتبع أهواء الذين لا يعلمون. We have given you a law of this matter, so follow it and do not follow the whims of those who do not know. The messenger is an obedient abd of Allah Azza wa Jal, and a portion or part of his obedience is that he delivers the message that Allah Azza wa Jal has ordered him to deliver. Allah Azza wa Jal ordered him by saying, يَا أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولُ بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مَنْ رَبِّكَ وَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَهُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. O Messenger, deliver what has been revealed to you from your Lord, from Allah. And if you do not do it, if you do not complete it, that is, then you have not fulfilled the message. And Allah will protect you from people, from the harm of people. Aisha radiallahu anha, in regards to this ayah, said, to one of the Tabi'een, to Masruq. She said, whoever told you that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has hidden anything of what has been revealed to him is a liar. Because Allah Azza wa Jal says, and she recited this same ayah, Ya ayyuha ar-rasul balligh ma unzila ilaykum min rabbik. Allah Azza wa Jal also tells him, Wa anzalna ilayka al-dhikra litubayyana lin-nasi ma nuzila ilayhim wa la'allahum yatafakkarun. We have revealed to you al-dhikr, the reminder, which is the Quran, Islam in general. لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ, so that you would clarify to people that which has been sent or revealed to them. So the message is for all humanity, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is delivering it to them, and he is also ordered to explain it to them as well. So the explanation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an order from Allah. And this explanation or interpretation is what the Sunnah is all about. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ordered to go along his Sunnah, which means to say what is he ordered to, what he's ordered to say, to do what he's ordered to do, and to allow what Allah has told him that this is allowable. Al-Shafi'i, Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, in his book Al-Risala, says that Allah testifies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testifies that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is guided, himself is guided, is on guidance, on true guidance. And that he is following what Allah Azza wa Jalla has ordered him to do, and that he is the guidance, or he guides those who follow him. And then he recited the ayah, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانُ وَلَكِنْ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُورًا نَهْدِي بِهِ مَنْ نَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, which means that, and thus we have revealed to you a spirit from of our order, which means we have revealed to you the message through our spirit, Jibreel alayhi salam. You did not know what is the book or what is Islam in general, what is Iman in general, but we have made it a light that with which we guide whomever we will of our worshippers or of our creatures. And you indeed guide people to a straight path. So Allah Azza wa Jal tells him in this ayah, as I'm repeating what Imam Shafi'i said, first, that there was a revelation that was sent to him, that the Sharia was sent to him, revealed to him by Allah Azza wa Jal. And then that he was not knowing about it before it was revealed to him. And then that this is all a guidance for those whoever accept the guidance from Allah Azza wa Jal, and then that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a guidance for those who follow him. In his own words, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have not left out anything which would bring you closer to Allah Azza wa Jal and removes you away from the hellfire, but I have ordered you with it. And I have not left off anything which would bring you closer to the hellfire and away from Allah Azza wa Jal, but I have warned you about it. So he did not leave anything. He did not leave anything at all. He said, تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى بَيْضَاءَ نَقِيَّةٍ لَيْلِهَا كَنَهَارِهَا لَا يَزِيغُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا هَالِكٍ, which means that I have left you on a clear way. Its day is just as clear as its night. So whether it is at night or in the day, it is clear for you. Whether you are in hardship or in ease, it is clear what you are supposed to do. لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. Nobody will turn away from it except a person which is a loser. So the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم delivered this to us, and he let 100,000 people testify to this when he said, after he talked to the people, he said, ألا هل بلغت in حجة الوداع. They said, اللهم بلى. Yes, indeed, you have delivered the message. And he pointed with his finger up and he said, اللهم اشهد. O Allah, be a witness on this, that I have delivered the message complete to all people. And this, of course, by the way, shows that what some people claim, that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has, you know, delivered some of the message openly to people, and there were some other portions of it that were kept hidden, and these were only told to a selected group of people, to more knowledgeable people who can accept this hidden knowledge, and that this knowledge was passed down through the ages until it reached certain mashayikh, and these mashayikh are the ones who know the knowledge of the true knowledge of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is baseless. This contradicts the Book of Allah from the ayat that we heard and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah Azza wa Jal tells us that we have neglected nothing in the book. ما فرطنا في الكتاب في شيء, which means we have not neglected anything of the book. So Allah Azza wa Jal has not neglected anything in His book and in the interpretation of the book, which is the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because of this, because the deen has been completed, because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivered the message in its complete and final form, as Allah Azza wa Jal described, أَلْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا, which means, today I have completed your deen for you, and I have perfected my bounty on you, and I have accepted Islam as your deen. Because of this, we have to obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we have to take the message that he delivered to us, because it includes the instructions that Allah sent to us for us to be able to go to His Ma'duba, for us to be able to go to His feast that He has prepared for the obedient ones. Allah Azza wa Jal orders us very strongly in the Quran to obey His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And He warns us very strongly against disobeying Him. He says, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَارَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا, which means that it is not up to any believing man or woman to disobey the Messenger or the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم when he makes a decision. They do not have a choice. مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ, which means they do not have the khiyara, the choice, to do anything else except what he has ordered them to do. And then he says, whoever disobeys Allah and his messenger has indeed gone astray completely, in a very clear way. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَئِكَ رَفِيقًا, which means that whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger, then he is among those that Allah has bestowed His bounties on them, of the prophets, of the Siddiqeen, which means those who confirmed the message of the prophets, and of the martyrs, shuhada, and of the pious and good people. So he will be with those people, the one who obeys Allah and his messenger. وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. These are indeed the best companions for a person to be with them. And he says also, مَنْ يُطِعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. مَنْ يُطِعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ, which means the one who obeys the messenger has obeyed Allah indeed. Why is that so? Because, you know, the messenger is definitely a messenger from Allah to tell people what Allah wants from them. وَأَنِحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِمَا أَرَاكَ اللَّهِ. Make your judgments among them according to what Allah has shown you. So he is doing his judgments and giving his instructions and teachings under the surveillance and the watchful eye of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he is doing what Allah has ordered him to do and saying what Allah has ordered him to say. So whoever obeys him, therefore, is obeying Allah Azza wa Jal. And whoever disobeys him has doubt in his message, or has doubt that Allah has said this, or something like that. And we will hear some of what some of the imams said in regards to this. Allah Azza wa Jal also warned people against disobeying the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, which means let those who turn away from his order, from his commands, let them beware of a fitna that may fall on them or befall them. A fitna or a strong, painful punishment. Now this fitna or test, trial, was explained by Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, as being a kufr, disbelief, or hypocrisy, or bid'ah that will occur to their hearts, which means their hearts will become accepting and receptive to kufr, to hypocrisy, or to bid'ah. And this is the greatest fitna that you can imagine that could happened to a person after he was a believer, to be willing to accept a way other than the way of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A man once came to Imam Malik rahimahullah, and he said, "Oh Abu Abdullah," that's the kunya of Imam Malik rahimahullah. He said, "Oh Abu Abdullah, from where should I start my ihram?" He said, "You start your ihram, that is, you know, the ihram, it is when you wear the clothes of ihram and make the intention to start ihram when you are planning to go for Umrah or Hajj." So he said, "Where should I start from?" He said, "The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started his ihram from Dhul Hulayfa, a place close to Medina, very close to Medina." So he said, "But I want to start my ihram from the masjid here, from the masjid of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." He said, "Don't do it." He said, "But I want to start it from the masjid, and in fact from the grave of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." He said, "Don't do it, I'm telling you, because I'm afraid that if you do it, you will be hit by al-fitna, by this fitna or test, this hard test." He said, what fitna is that? I'm just, you know, adding a few miles to where I would start my ihram from. So instead from starting at Dhul Hulayfa, I start a few miles earlier." Imam Malik rahimahullah said, "What fitna do you expect would be larger or worse than to think that you can do something better than what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done? I heard Allah Azza wa Jal say, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ." The same ayah that I just said, let those who turn away from his commands beware of a fitna or a great punishment, a severe punishment that may hit them. So we see that we are ordered to obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we do not have the choice in that. It's not that, you know, we say we can obey him or we can obey somebody else. It's the people who say that this is as it's like saying we are invited to this feast in that house, as was described by the hadith that I said earlier, and I know that I'm sure that this person is telling me the correct directions to get to that house, which is the Messenger of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there is another man that also wants to lead me to that place, and he said that he bases his information on what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told him. Then wouldn't I get there if I follow either? And the answer is yes, as long as that person conforms with what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. But if he disagrees, even if his claim, if he claims that he is following the Messenger, or if he tries to obey him but he somehow forgets or for some reason doesn't remember which way is supposed to be the way to this house, then you will never get to that house by obeying such person. But when we obey the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are sure that we will get into the house, and in this case we have no choice, as I said. So we have this person and we have this person. Do we have a choice to opt to obey either? No, we are supposed to obey the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam unless we have definite certainty that that person is also telling us exactly what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught him or wants us to do. And you heard the ayah in which Allah Azza wa Jalla says, مَا كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ. A believing man or woman, once Allah or His Messenger and His Messenger make a decision, they will not have a choice. They do not have a choice to do in this matter. So they have only one choice to do, which is what Allah Azza wa Jalla has ordered them. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنْ تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. Which means, believers, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those charged in authority amongst you. If you dispute about a certain matter, then refer it back to Allah and the Messenger. ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. That is indeed better and of more correct interpretation or understanding. So here Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling that we have to obey Him and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if there is a dispute and those charged in authority, and those charged in authority means, you know, according to the interpreters, they mean people charged in authority as rulers of Muslims, and those have to be obeyed as long as they do not obey Muslims to do, with something that involves disobeying Allah, or as long as they do not expose clearly that they disbelieve in Allah Azza wa Jal. So these are of Ulil Amr, and also of Ulil Amr are those who are charged in authority in terms of knowledge, those who are more knowledgeable amongst Muslims. So these also have to be obeyed in understanding the deen. Now if they dispute among themselves, if some of them say something and others say something else, then what do we do? Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. So there is no reason and no excuse to disagree, as Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us here, because whenever there is a disagreement, matters have to be referred back to Allah and the Messenger. And here, something to be pointed out, that when Allah Azza wa Jalla started the ayah, He said, أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ, which means obey Allah, and then He said, started the word أَطِيعُ again, another verb أَطِيعُ, and obey the Messenger. And then He did not repeat the verb a third time when He said, and obey those charged in authority. He did not say this. He said, and those charged in authority. Ulil Amr. Atiya Allah وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. And the Ulama tell us that the reason for this is that obeying those charged in authority is part of obeying the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, so it's not an independent obedience. They are obeyed as long as their obedience conforms with the obedience of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If it disagrees, then the rest of the ayah explains what you are supposed to do. So, obeying the Messenger is brought independent in this ayah, with a new verb, obey the Messenger, obey Allah, and obey the Messenger, but not the obedience to those charged in authority. And why was obeying the Messenger independent, brought independent or independent verb? It's because, as we heard in the ayah earlier, Allah Azza wa Jal says, مَنْ يُطِعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. The one who obeys the Messenger has indeed obeyed Allah. So there is no conflict at all between the two forms of obedience, and they complete each other. And they are actually one obedience. They are all both obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. Also Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Whenever you disagree about a matter, then let Allah be the judge in it. And Allah's judgment will be His judgment in His book, or in the words and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the earlier ayat and the hadith describe. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Here, this is one of the strongest ayats in telling the importance of obeying the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Azza wa Jal makes an oath with His own self. He says, nay, no, by your Lord. And here, you know, this ayah contains several forms of emphasis. For those who know the emphasis in the Arabic language. First of all, Allah Azza wa Jal did not say, وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. He said, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. And this, as people of language tell us, this is a stronger form of stating something. When the thing that you are talking about is in the negative sense. So Allah Azza wa Jal is negating the iman. He's saying they will not believe. And He started this by saying, no, they will not believe. He did not just say they will not believe. He said, no, they will not believe. So to make it even more emphasized, no, they will not believe. And also He started it, as I said, by making an oath with His own self, subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ. No, by your Lord. They will not believe until they set you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is, until they set you, حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ, as a judge in all matters that arise between them, all disputes that arise between them. So, a person will not be a believer until he set the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the person who resolves disputes and disagreements for him. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Until they do this, they set you, Muhammad, as a judge in all what occurs among them. And then, this is not all. Allah Azza wa Jal even makes it stronger by saying, ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ. So it's not only that you say, okay, there was this situation where I had a disagreement with a certain person, and we said, since we disagree, we'll go to the hadith and to the sunnah and say what the Messenger says about this matter. And we found that the messenger's judgment was in the favor of the other person. So alhamdulillah, I accept it because the Messenger said it, even though I'm not satisfied with it, but alhamdulillah, I accept it. I gave him whatever I'm supposed to give that person. So this is not enough. This is not acceptable. This will not be true belief, as Allah Azza wa Jal says in this ayah. He says, فَلَا لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. They will not believe until they fulfill the following. حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. ثم لا يجد في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت, which means and then they should not find any tightness in their hearts, in themselves, regarding what you have made of judgment. So a person should not have any tightness. I should not have, once I know that the Messenger ﷺ judged this, said this, commanded this, ordered this, then it's not that I say I accept it and that's it, but I should accept it from the depth of my heart. I should accept it to the extent that I love it. This is what the Messenger ordered me to do, so when I do it, I am pleased in doing it. I am happy that I am ordering the Prophet ﷺ, and I know that I am doing the truth that Allah Azza wa Jal wants me to do by teaching His Messenger what it should be done in this case. And not only this, but Allah Azza wa Jal even makes it more emphasized by saying, وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. So they should not have any tightness in their hearts against what you tell them, and they should submit to it with full submission, without even the least amount of rebellion or hate of this matter in their hearts. And Allah Azza wa Jal knows best what is in their hearts. So you see, this is a high stage of obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we realize now probably that most of us, if not all of us, do not always have this high level of obeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every matter that occurs to us. So we have to work on it. We have to work on it to get to this level of full iman that Allah Azza wa Jalla describes in this ayah. In his hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this hadith, this is a famous hadith of Al-Arbad ibn Sariyah radiallahu anhu. He said that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam once gave us a very moving talk. So they said, O Messenger of Allah, this sounds like the reproach of a person who is leaving, who is departing. So they said that this is probably one of his last talks. So which means that this was close to the end of his life. So give us some advice. Give us some wasiyah. Before some important wasiyah that you will remember after this. And what was the advice of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You will expect in this situation that he will give them something that will benefit them and all Muslims after them until the end of time. And he did, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did. Only if we understand it. He said, Usikum bitaqwa Allah. First thing, and this, you know, repeated in many of his wasaya, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in many of his advices and commands, whenever a person asks him to some advice, in many situations he would say, first of all, I advise you to have taqwa of Allah. Like when he said this to Mu'adh, radiallahu anhu, Mu'adh asked him to give him some advice, and he same thing, said, ittaqillah, have taqwa of Allah wherever you are. So here he's saying, أُوْسِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ, I give you the advice to have taqwa before Allah Azza wa Jal. Which means to reverence Allah, to remember Him, to understand and believe and always be knowing that He is close to you, watching you, observing all that you do, recording all your deeds. So be careful in what you do. Be careful of what you say. And make sure that it is according to what he accepts and he loves, otherwise you are in trouble. So this is basically what the taqwa of Allah is, to shelter, for a person to shelter himself from Allah. So, usikum bi taqwa Allah, and then his second thing he ordered was sam'i wa ta'a. And I order you to listen and obey. And this listen and obey is referring to the leaders, to the Muslim rulers. وَإِن تَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَبْدٌ حَبَشِيٌّ, even if your ruler was an Abyssinian slave, so still you have to follow him and obey him. أُوصِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَالسَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ, وأنت مالك وابن حبشي فإنه من يعش منكم فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا. Then he explained why he is ordering them to do this. He said, those of you who are going to live long enough will see much disagreement, a lot of disagreement. Then he further said what should be done in order for people to be sure that they will not, that they will resolve these disagreements. First, obeying the ruler as he said, and then he said, فَأَنْتَمَرَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَبْدُ الْحَبَشِي فَإِنَّ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ سَيْرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. So follow my sunnah. This is how you solve your disagreements. Follow my sunnah, my way, and the way of the rightly guided khulafa, successors after me. وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. عَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ. Cling to it very strongly with your teeth. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ. And be very careful of the newly invented matters, because every newly invented matter is a going astray. So the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith gave the same kind of prescription that Allah Azza wa Jal gave in his book to solve the disagreements which he knew that are going to happen in the future among Muslims. To solve the disagreements, go to what solves the disagreement, and there is only one way to solve the disagreements, which is the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We see that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum responded to this in a very clear way, and immediately, whenever they found something, whenever they were in a situation where they were not sure what to do, and they learned a Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that regard, they immediately followed the Sunnah and left whatever other thing they were doing or saying before that. There are many, many examples on this. I'm not going to go into this, but I'll just say one or two cases. For example, Umar radiallahu anhu, when he was asked about diya, when somebody, you know, by mistake, for example, cuts the finger of somebody else, he was, his decision was that it depends on the which finger it is, because, you know, the fingers are, some of them are more useful than others. But later on, the Sahaba learned from another Sahabi who is Amr ibn Hazm. He had it written in his book that the Messenger ﷺ ordered that all fingers be treated equally, and that each finger is worth 10 camels. So when they learned this, they immediately accepted this judgment of the Prophet ﷺ, and they dropped the judgment of Umar that used to be the thing which was followed before that. Umar radiallahu anhu once was presented by a case where a woman was caused, to lose her child. What do you call that in English? Abort, because of somebody hit her probably. So the messenger Umar first was asked about this situation, and he was about to say something, but then he said to give a decision, and then he asked, is there anybody here who knows a sunnah from the Prophet ﷺ in this regard? And then a man called Hamal ibn Malik ibn Nabigha said, yes, I heard the Messenger ﷺ say, in a situation where I had two wives and one of them hit the other one, and caused her to abort, in this case, he ordered that she should free a slave because of what she did. So that was by mistake, of course. She didn't do it intentionally. So he said that this was the judgment of the Messenger ﷺ. What was the response of Umar radiallahu anhu? He said, if you did not tell me this, I would have made a judgment different from this. What does this mean? From this we learn many things, but two of them are more important than others, as Imam Shafi rahimahullah said. We learn that Umar radiallahu anhu first of all accepted immediately from the man what he told him. He didn't say, okay, well, I still think that my opinion is better, maybe we should treat this as a living, as a human being, and therefore we should have the diya of the human, of the grown up man or something like that. He didn't say this, he accepted it immediately. And this was the same in the case of the Sahaba and the example that I gave before this. And the second thing, he did not say, we cannot accept what you said because you are only one person. We need more evidence. We need about, 50 or 20, at least 20 people to bring us such an information before we accept it, especially that we are Sahaba who live in Medina with the Prophet ﷺ, and we have heard most of what he said, and you are a man who lived far away in Najd, and you probably have not heard except a few things from the Prophet ﷺ. He did not go into all of that. Once it was obvious that the man was saying the truth, then he accepted it from him, and he was willing immediately to withdraw from his decision and take the decision of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam instead. So we find now with this what I have shown about the importance of obeying the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, still prefer to follow others than the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they say it doesn't matter if we are, in different directions, if we follow different attitudes or different understandings, then this enriches Islam. And that's fine. And the fact is that it is not fine, because this is a cause of, weakness of Muslims. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَبْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Which means, do not disagree amongst each other. Do not fight amongst each other. Do not disagree, because that will lead you to loss and to weakness. فَتَبْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ وَاصْبِرُوا, and be steadfast, because Allah is with those who are steadfast. So this is not an excuse that we can follow other than the way of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as long as we know what is the way of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we know that there is only one way which leads to the right goal. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in his other hadith, in another hadith, he said, he drew a line on the ground, and the Sahaba were around him, and he said, this is the way to Allah Azza wa Jal, or Allah's way. And then he drew other short lines on the sides, and he said, these are other ways. On the intersection, each of these intersections to these ways, is a shaitan which calls people to it. And then he read the ayah which says, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ, which means, this is my way, it is straight, follow it, and do not follow other ways, because they will lead you away from His way, from the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. So there is one way. The way of Allah is only one, and any other way will not lead to the way of Allah. So it will lead to a dead end, it will lead to a loss and failure, and it will delay a person from reaching the goal, from reaching this feast which Allah Azza wa Jal has prepared for those who obey His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many people in our time, we find, and in previous times, have been following different, what they call schools of thoughts, or madahib, and saying that by that, we are indirectly following the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is true in some sense, and it's not true in some other sense. It is true in the sense that the people who have established these madhahib, or the people who have done the research to reach the conclusions that are in these different madhahib, have based most, most of their research on the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is true in this sense. But in the other sense, it is not true, because we find that these madhahib are in disagreement in many situations. And in the case of disagreement, does it mean that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was contradictory in what he taught? Did he teach something and then he teach the opposite? Did he teach us, for example, that when a blood comes from our body, breaks the wudu in some cases and doesn't break the wudu in other cases? It cannot be. It can be either this or that. It cannot be both. And as Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَلَيْسَ بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ, which means there is nothing beyond truth except loss, or except going astray. Which means there is only truth, and anything beyond it is falsehood. So it cannot be that Allah Azza wa Jal ordered with something and it's contrary at the same time. We know of cases where Allah Azza wa Jal has ordered us to do something, and then there was nasakh, which means this thing was cancelled, this hukum was cancelled or abrogated, nasakh, and then another hukum, another judgment came afterwards. But in that case, we know this new hukum, we know what the Messenger said in the new case, or what Allah said in His book in the new case. But it's not that every case where there is disagreement, that means there is nasakh. And we can't claim this without a proof and evidence from the book of Allah or the sunnah of His Messenger. Otherwise, when we see disagreement, we know that these are conflicting, and we want to know what is the truth between the two. How do we know? How do we solve this conflict? As Allah Azza wa Jalla taught us, فَرَدُّوا اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ, I refer it back to Allah and the Messenger. So we have to go back to Allah and His Messenger and solve our problem, resolve our disagreement based on these two sources, on the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger. And this would solve most of the problems of Muslims. There will be cases where it is hard to reach a conclusion, even with all the available, evidence from the book and the sunnah. These are very limited cases. And in that case, we do not say that the one who goes one way and he believes that it is one way, or the one who goes the other way, we do not blame either of the two. But in general, in most situations, we can resolve the disagreement, especially at this time, where all the sunnah has been published and it is in the hands of people and the hands of ulama, and they can all refer to it and know what is the authentic of it and what is not. I will end by reminding that even those great imams, rahimahullah, who have established a good deal of the madhahib by making, their research and by reaching their conclusions in earlier times, even these imams warn people against following them blindly. For example, Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, said, إِذَا صَحَّ الْحَدِيثَ فَهُ مَذَهِبٌ, which means whenever a hadith is proved authentic, then this is my way, this is my madhab. Even though I say something now, but if a hadith proves later on to be authentic, different from what I said, then follow the hadith. This is what it means. And he said, it is prohibited for that who does not know my evidence, that is the evidence for what I say, it is prohibited for him to make fatwa, that saying that Imam Abu Hanifa said so and so, because we are human beings. We say something today, and we would change tomorrow. We would say something different tomorrow. Imam Malik, rahimahullah, said, I am a human being. I make mistakes. I hit the truth sometimes. I miss it some other times. So look into what I say. everything that agrees with the book and the sunnah, then take it, and whatever disagrees with them, then reject it. And he said, nobody after the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but that you can take some of what he says and drop some of what he says, and the only exception is the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the one who is in this grave. And he pointed to the grave of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah said, there is complete consensus amongst Muslim ijma' that for the one that a sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam becomes clear, it is not permissible for him not to follow it, no matter who else says different from it. It's not allowed or permissible. And he said, any matter, any situation that a hadith proves to be authentic in it, and the hadith says different from what I decide, then I am withdrawing what I said in my life and after my die, after my death. Imam Ahmad, for example, said, do not imitate me blindly, that is. And do not imitate Imam Malik, or Imam Shafi'i, or Imam Uza'i, or Imam Thawri, and take from what they have taken. That is, take your evidence, base your evidence on what they base their evidence, which is the book and the sunnah. So with this, inshallah, I stop, hoping that the rest of my talk will be covered with the questions and answers. Wassalamu ala Muhammad wa ala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
There is a change of program. We are going to continue for the next 15 minutes, inshallah, 10-15 minutes, questions and answers. And then we are going to take a break, and we have moved forward Sheikh Bilal Phillips' talk from 8:30 to 7 o'clock. So we're going to take questions and answers for the next 10-15 minutes, take a break, start at 7 o'clock, inshallah, and then finish at 8:15. At 8:15, we will prepare to go for dinner. At 8:30, dinner will be served, inshallah. We finish eating. After dinner, we'll pray Maghrib and Isha at 10 o'clock. And after 10 o'clock, there is an unannounced, unpublicized program. It's only for those who are interested to attend. We encourage and welcome everyone to attend. It is going to carry on for as long as it needs, and as long as the sheikhs feel comfortable to carry on. It will be an education for ourselves with regard to the group Al-Hizb al-Tahrir, that how they are corrupting the people, or they are deviated, or how we should be warned about them, and so on. So that's a change of program. At 7 o'clock, Sheikh Bilal Phillips, till 8:15. And then at 8:30 will be dinner. At 10 p.m. will be prayer. At 10:30 will be the refutation on Al-Hizb al-Tahrir. We'll take questions for 10-15 minutes and break for another 20 minutes after that, inshallah.
In that order, we want to go together on a similar question.
Okay. All of these? Okay. Okay, bismillah, alhamdulillah. First question. What are we to believe if we know the opinion of two scholars, example, Sheikh Al-Albani and Sheikh Abdullah Ansari, and these two opinions differ? Assuming we trust both scholars and cannot, from our own limited knowledge, detect who is correct. Can we choose both or either? Will we be blamed for this? And the answer to this, Allahu A'lam, is that. Again, of course, the ayah says that you refer things to Allah and the Messenger. Now we hear the conclusion of two ulama, for example, based on the book of Allah and the sunnah of his Messenger. One of them says something and the other says something different. And we have a limited knowledge, you know, we cannot prove that one of them, for example, is right and the other is wrong. But we can at least, from listening to what they say and what they base what they say on, we can definitely have a certain inclination. I'm not saying by the inclination what our desires, dictate on us. Like, for example, I prefer to cover the face of my wife
therefore I follow this sheikh, or I prefer to show the face of my wife, then I follow the other. It's not what I prefer based on my desires, no. It means whatever we are inclined to, after we listen to the two decisions objectively, and this is between us and Allah Azza wa Jalla, whether we did it objectively or not, then we are going to be judged by what we are inclined to in our hearts, even though this may be the wrong one of the two decisions. But since this is what our conviction is, the truth, then we have to follow it. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ says, or this is based on what the Prophet ﷺ says, that check into your heart, even after the people who give you fatwa, give you it again and again and again. So when you listen to the fatwa from different sources, you still have to check your heart and see which one makes the most conviction in your heart. And this is what you are going to be judged with it, according to it, by Allah Azza wa Jalla. Wallahu alam. How can you explain that some of the past scholars had a madhab? What is this? Al-Nawawi, is a Shafi'i, and Al-Tahawi is a Hanafi, and Bayhaqi is a Shafi'i, Ibn Taymiyyah is a Hanbali. Okay, well, for these examples that are given, we do not care about names. I mean, whether they call them Shafi'i or Hanbali or not, or they do not call themselves. But we know that these particular examples are ulama who were, you can call them like madhab in themselves, which means they are school in thoughts in themselves. These people that are mentioned, like Nawawi or Ibn Taymiyyah or the others. They used to be called, after certain madhab, like Hanbali or Hanafi or Shafi and so on. But they, as I said, the names are not important. What's important is what they did, whether they blindly followed the Imam or not. Now the question, why did they prefer to be called Shafi'i when they were one of them? For example, when he was a mujtahid and he used to make ijtihad, and much of his conclusions were different. Like, for example, that at least one third of what the decisions of Muhammad and Abu Yusuf, which are two of the students of Abu Hanifa, one third of their decisions were different from the madhab of Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, all of them. How can we explain that these are all mujtahids, and when we should understand that at a certain period of time, it was considered wrong not to be called after a certain madhab or a school of thought. It was considered. This is one of the problems that following the madhab has caused, that if a person is not named after a certain madhab, then he is like a heretic or something like that. So they have to have a description as he is following this madhab or that madhab or that madhab. But as I said, we do not care about the reasons. What we care about is the truth of the thing, and we know that in truth none of these were a blind follower of the Imam, but they were very independent of their thought and mujtahid of his own. Next question, what the position of a general Muslim who does not know Quran and Sunnah? Are they allowed to follow particular schools of thought or to follow whatever one suits them? This is an important thing, actually. I didn't get a chance to get to it in my talk, but alhamdulillah somebody asked it. For the common people who, cannot understand what this imam says or why this imam says this, gives this judgment and the other imam gives a different judgment, what we do in this case? Are they supposed to? Is, some people sometimes say, you people who are inviting everybody to become an alim and to be able to go directly to Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim and make their decisions based on that. And this is not true. What we are inviting people is to be able, is to know the source of what people tell them. So if somebody gives you a fatwa, no matter how, little or large the knowledge of the person who gives the fatwa, you should ask him, where did you get this from? Or you should know where he got it from. And this makes you feel sure that indeed what he said is based on the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. So now this is for most people. For many people, they can do it at varying degrees, of course. Now, the more that a person can do it, the more that he has to do it. That is, has to follow the evidence in the book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the less that he can do it, the more that he would be forced to see, you know, see somebody that he trusts like a alim, and ask him what I'm supposed to do in this case, what I'm supposed to do in that case, and follow the alim. In situations where he can understand why the alim told him so, he should try to understand, and in other cases, he is forgiven, Allahu alam, but we should understand that this is the exception to the case. This is the exception to the case. It is like, as some of the ulama describe it, it is like allowing a person to eat of dead meat. This is not the rule. This is the exception only in cases where a person has no choice at all. He will either die or he would have to eat of this dead meat. So in this case we say eat of the dead meat, but this is not the rule. Okay, and we do not say, okay, go ahead and eat of the dead meat as much as you want, and day and night, whether you find the good meat or not. This is wrong, and this is what some people do by just following blindly different madhahib or different people sometimes other than the madhahib, instead of following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the true leader into the walima or the ma'duba, the feast which the Allah has prepared for the believers. The Quran says, obey those in authority. But if the leader of a Muslim country does not obey and install Allah's law, Sharia, fully, then he is disobedient to Allah. As according to the hadith, I read it, said that this leader, if he resists, is being zalim, unjust ruler, he should be killed. Who should kill him? Us? And does the killer get a reward or punishment in paradise? These are all related, right? I'll see if I have time, inshallah, to answer them, because these can take a while to answer, and to see if there are questions which are more relevant to what we have been discussing now first. There are people who, if shown a hadith sahih, do not believe they have to follow giving preference to the people of Medina for the actions of Medina. Can these people be considered constituted or as rejection of hadith? Can this be considered as rejection of the hadith? And the answer is definitely anything that nothing can be put ahead of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you heard what Imam Malik said, that we put forward the hadith no matter what I say, because I may make mistakes. I'm a human being. So people of Medina who are usually, you know, those who follow Imam Malik in this, that is based on the absence, or in the case of absence of hadith. If there is no hadith, then they say, we see what the people of Medina at that time used to do, and since they are, you know, the third, fourth, fifth generation after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then probably they have seen this from their grandparents and grandparents, and they are still applying the sunnah, and therefore we take this as an evidence. But this doesn't mean to strike, to, you know, hit the hadith with this evidence, because the hadith comes ahead, and this is just a way of reaching the hadith in case no other means is available for us. What do you say to that belief that following any of the madhabs sincerely is permissible? And I think this was what I said was an answer to this, that we are not, you know, we are not required by Allah to follow any madhab. Allah Azza wa Jalla is not going to ask us on the Day of Judgment, which madhab did you follow? Have you been Hanafi or Hanbali or Maliki or Shafi or some of the other madhab that are less known? And how sincerely and closely we follow this madhab? There is no evidence in Islam at all that says this. And we know that the Sahaba did not do this, and their followers, including the Imam that we were referring to, prohibited people from doing such a thing. We are supposed to follow the truth, no matter where it comes from, no matter which madhab it comes from, whether it is from Shafi'i or Hanbali or Hanafi or other than these, as long as it has the correct evidence. And there is something that I should warn about here, is that some people find it easy to make what we call talfiq, which means that they say, okay, I'm not going to follow any particular madhab. That's fine so far, you know. But then they say, I will take this madhab, for example, allows us to do this thing, I take it, this makes our life easy. And the other madhab allows another thing, where the other madhabs this allow it, so I take this too, and this from the third madhab, and so on. So they take rukhas, the easy things from different madhab. And by this, you know, they make a deen, a new deen, which is mulaffaq, which is like, you know, a dress which you make it out of patches from different things, which is very different from Islam, because they tend, in this case, to fall into mistakes. And, you know, some of the madhab, for example, madhab al-Hanafi, in some of its, in some of the fatwa of Abu Hanifa, allows drinking a particular type of alcoholic drinks. And this is based on a misunderstanding regarding Nabil, which was mentioned in one of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And some other madhahib allow some other thing, and the third madhahib allows a third thing which is, you know, as bad. So if we take all these, you know, permissions from the different madhahib, we end up with something which is quite different from Islam. But we have to understand why are we accepting from this madhab or that madhab. So we do not follow the madhab for its being a madhab, but we are following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And on the Day of Judgment, Allah Azza wa Jalla will ask us how close we follow the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and not how close we follow this or that madhab. Some people say that the Prophet ordered a Sahabi to divorce his wife, and the Sahabi refused, and they use this as evidence in order to disobey the Prophet. Like when you ask them to grow the beard and so on. Is this hadith true? If so, can it be used as evidence? Well, when somebody gives you a hadith and you are doubtful about its truthfulness or authenticity, then ask them to show you where the hadith comes from and who declared it as authentic from the ulama. So they need to bring you the evidence. But from what we heard in the ayah, the ayah shows exactly the opposite. The ayah was in the case where Allah Azza wa Jal ordered one of the Sahaba to order the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to order one of the Sahaba to divorce his wife, and that was Zayd in this Surah Al-Ahzab. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a little uneasy on how to approach the situation, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed this ayah, which says, "ما كان للمؤمن وما كان المؤمن ولا أمتي إذا قال الله ورسوله أمرا أن يكون لهم الخيار." They have no choice. No believing man or woman has the choice when Allah or His Messenger makes a decision to do different from that. Okay, so this is in regard to a very similar situation. And if the person says that there is a hadith here, then we ask him, bring us this hadith, and we will see if it is authentic or not. But as you see, it contradicts the book of Allah very clearly, and the order to obey the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether it's concerning the beard or concerning any other thing. Anything else? That's it. So should I answer this? Or this? Okay, for this question, which is, this needs a long answer, there is a halqa tomorrow, there is a lecture tomorrow regarding this subject. So I'll save it, inshallah, and give it to those that will be giving that lecture, and it will be answered at that time. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil alamin.